So welcome to the Monday, November 6, 2023 Planning and Development Committee meeting. I'm Kathy Bogardi, I'm the chair, and I'm joined by my fellow council members, Susan Flynn and Thomas McLeod. We have two items on the agenda, the economic development strategy and an ordinance establishing rental housing tenant protections. So we'll start with a presentation from Derek and Elliot Weiss regarding the economic development strategy.
Thank you, Chair. And so tonight, the topic, as you said, is the economic development strategy. This committee has seen much of this before, so we're not going to dwell on things, but we're definitely available if you have questions. The purpose is discussion tonight, if you have questions on things. If you're comfortable with what's in the packet, then you could forward that on to council whenever you're ready. There is no rush on getting this through the council process. At this point, we're just available for whatever timing works for you. With me tonight, then, as Councilmember Hogarty said, Elliot Weiss with Community Attributes is joined the meeting remotely. And I'm going to be starting, there's Elliot. I'm going to be starting the first part of this, and at some point I'm going to be handing the strategies and goals over to him. So you've got an info memo in your packet starting on page one. We have a presentation to show you tonight that covers a lot of things that are in your info packet, your info memo. The one thing I just want to point out is page one does have some bullet points about how this project has gone through the council process. So it started really in 2022. And so for the full council, it might be a little foggy to the full council because it was in 2022 and we were in front of them with a lot of the details and the scope and selecting the consultants. And so what I'd like to do now is the presentation is on page 11 in your packet. And I'd like to just try to share my screen and go to the presentation. Let's see, get to the slideshow here. So that is showing the economic development strategy. There's different documents you'll hear Elliot and me refer to. When we talk about the economic development strategy that's being proposed, it's the document that has that picture on its cover. And that's sort of the meat of what we've come up with is the economic development strategy. It's a multi-page document. There are a couple of other documents that are part of this. There's a document called a landscape assessment, which I'll get to a little bit more information later. There's also our community engagement report about all the engagement. But when you hear us say the economic development strategy, it's the document that looks like that. So tonight, we're going to cover what those big documents are, just so you understand what's there. We're not going to go through them in a lot of detail. That last, second to last thing, the vision, strategies, goals, and actions, that's really where the meat of it all is. And so, and then we'll get a quickly touch base on next steps. So in terms of background, as a reminder, and this is more just for the record, there are already multiple policy documents that affect and kind of provide guidance to the economic development work of the city. And it's not just Brandon and me, it's, you know, economic development in many departments. And there's a list of those documents there. And so those are all still in place. You know, this economic development strategy is not changing those documents. At the next steps, I'll talk about the comprehensive plan. There's another special relationship there, but we'll talk about that at the end. But what happened was, I think for years, there have been some individuals interested in additional focus on economic development. And so that's why this plan is before you, is to have an actual economic development strategy document. So 2022 is when we hired Elliot and his community attributes. And that 2022 is when we started the community engagement. So we did a lot of engagement back then. We did more in 2023. And so in terms of the documents I mentioned, the landscape assessment, and you'll see the landscape assessment starting on page 115 in your packet. But basically, on the left side of that screen, you'll see the kinds of information that's in that landscape assessment. I think the one thing you'll find the most interesting is the last one, comparisons. Those are comparisons to other cities, and you might find that helpful to get a sense of how do we stack up to our adjacent cities. That on the right side of that screen is just one page out of that landscape assessment to give you a flavor of the kind of information and graphics. So the community attributes created that document. Those are the quality of graphics they are able to do. And I think you'll find it a pretty interesting document. And I think it'll be useful for the rest of the community for things. Let's see. So the next document is the community engagement report, and that starts on page 71 in your packet. There's a whole report about what did we do for community engagement. And you'll see I summarized some of this in your memo, but the whole report's there. And we know that engagement is important for the council and the community. As a reminder, back in 2022, the council actually gave us an extra $50,000 to do enhanced community engagement. And so with that, we started with those things on the left there. Of course, we had a website for the project. And that's the web address. Of course, we had an online survey. But because of the extra enhancements, we were able to do the survey in 10 languages, English and 9 other languages. You know, CAI has this capability of doing an online map where people could make comments and connect into specific areas of the city. We also had a paper survey in some cases, and we promoted all this as much as we could through our contacts that we have. Now on the next ones, I'm going to cover those in a little bit more detail here. So the listening sessions, that's a list of who we did the listening sessions with all the boards and commissions. Basically, all that was me going to those meetings. We had a few basic questions we would ask, and I would take notes. And if the public or somebody wants to see all those notes, we did include those in your packet from July 17th of this year. I'm not repeating them in this packet because, you know, people can go online and get those if they want, but the raw notes are there from those meetings. And then what happened was Elliot took those raw notes and he looked for what the key findings were from them, and he put that in the engagement report so you can see kind of a summary of what those were. We also did listening sessions with other groups that we could connect with groups. So those are three groups that we connected with and did listening sessions with them also. And those notes are also in the engagement report. Let's see. So we also did, with that $50,000, we also did contracted engagement because we know there are some constituencies in the city that are hard to reach through the traditional methods, but there are organizations that have relationships already. So these are the groups that we contracted with, and I'm particularly proud. You know, we didn't have just a formula. We put out a very simple one-page request for information to anybody we knew that might want to do something. These are the ones that we were able to work out agreements with, and it ranged from everything from African Community Housing Development. They have already surveyed their residents and their businesses. So rather than us have them do a new survey, we just paid them a little bit of money for them to give us a report based on what they had already found out of things that were interesting to us. You know, Debonair Barbershop, we simply had a very small contract with Dexter, with Debonair, to try to have him and his barbers promote the survey to their customers and also for Dexter to promote the survey to other barbershops. We were trying to have a barbershop competition. We couldn't quite pull that off. But I feel like those are examples of things that we did that are different and creative. Somali Health Board, we just contracted with them to go door to door and help people they know fill out the survey. The Chamber of Commerce went door to door 3 different days to different business groups. So anyway, that's the level of effort we all did. Talisa was at 2 low-income apartment buildings in Tukwila. They got 50 surveys filled out in 4 different languages. In addition to that, we also did CAI. Elliot conducted focus groups and interviews because some people maybe couldn't fit into a focus group, but we wanted to make sure we got some information from them. Those are the topics you'll see on the screen that Elliot did 6 different focus groups. Those are the topics. And you'll see he wrote up, you know, summaries of all that in the engagement report. We also had an advisory committee, and it was a small committee of 6 people, but I think, and we only met really had 3 actual full-on meetings. We had kind of a 4th informal meeting, but I think that group, for being as small as it is, had a great background. We have everybody there from There's some residents, Tukwila residents there. We had people that are, the president of the Chamber of Commerce was there. The chair of Tukwila's Equity and Diversity Commission is in that group. Former city council members in that group. A workforce development expert that knows Tukwila well and worked with us for years is in that group. Somebody that works on the private sector for apartment development is in that group. Another person in that group is a property owner and developer and retail expert in Tukwila. So I feel like that's a small group. We did not ask them to approve every word in this document. We did not ask them to vote and say, yeah, we agree, and it's like this is their product. What we asked them to do was, because that would take a lot of time and everybody's busy, what we asked them to do was look at the engagement, look at the scope of what we're doing, look at the recommendations we're making. Does everything seem reasonable? And steer us if something seems off. And as an example with that, one of our goals initially wasn't enough focused on safety. And so they steered us to say, Derek, you really do need to have some more language about public safety in this, as an example. But we really appreciate their work. So you'll see in the package, there's also key findings, and you'll find that in there. So, okay, here's where the rubber starts to meet the road. We first came up with this vision statement, and you can read it there. There's a lot of thought that went behind that vision statement, and the advisory committee, looked at that and did endorse that vision statement. And so Elliot and I can talk more about it later if you have questions about why is one word more important than another word, or if you think we're missing anything, that's the kind of feedback we would want to hear. So here are the goals, and we ended up with 5 goals, and then under each goal are strategies, and then even in the document, under the strategies, there are example actions. And I call them example actions because I want to make it really clear. We aren't really able to commit to doing all those actions. We want to provide examples of what we could do, but what we will be able to do will depend on resources and time and other priorities, and we know things will change over time. So tonight, I'm going to be handing it over here to Elliot to go over the goals and the strategies, not the actions. But we're not going to review the goals and strategies. Elliot's just going to give you a little bit of context as over why are some of those there, because we know you've got other items on your agenda tonight. And then after he's given some context on these, we'll bring it back to next steps. Elliot, I can run the presentation, and you just tell me when you want me to go to the next slide. And it's up to you. Over to you.
That sounds great. Thank you, Derek. And can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. Hopefully none of this content at this point is surprising to any of you. We've talked about it a few times. It's evolved over the course of the last several months, but it should be familiar. Goal 1 reads a vibrant, diverse, and resilient economy. And we know that Tukwila has strong economic foundations in certain sectors. I mean, retail is the one that springs to mind most readily, but there are also other sectors that are present in Tukwila that indeed have a strong presence in Tukwila, but part of resiliency is related to diversification. And so there's an interest in, and this comes from stakeholders across the project, maintaining Tukwila's strength in retail, and you see that in strategy 1B, but also working to attract and retain businesses in other industries. And so certain industries that are called out here are office, R&D, advanced manufacturing, aerospace, food manufacturing, technology, and life sciences. Those to varying degrees have tenants in Tukwila currently. Some of them are more aspirational, but we think that Tukwila, for various reasons, has some significant potential with all of those. And so they're called out here in the strategy. I will also say that Tukwila has a few different sites that were identified as having catalytic potential in terms of the types of employment generating development or revenue generating development that they could support. And so strategy 1C in particular is about collaborating with the private sector to make sure that you're getting the most benefit you can out of those catalytic development sites that you still have at your disposal. Strategy 1D, I feel like, is important to call out as well, because you do have long-term plans for Tukwila International Boulevard, the Station area, and the South Center District. Those are sort of on the books, but they are in various stages of implementation. And I think there are real opportunities for Tukwila to fully implement those and to commit to the visions that were instilled in those plans. And if you do, I think that both of those places can become, you know, places of regional significance for the central Puget Sound region. So those are some of the highlights from Goal 1, again, sourced across the breadth of the engagement in this project. Goal 2 is a safe and desirable community with a positive identity. You know, we engage business owners in Tukwila across multiple methods, the focus groups. We heard from them in the surveys, certainly the interviews. They were represented on the advisory committee, as Derek mentioned, and this was really the number one concern for just about every business owner in Tukwila. I always strive to reinforce that there can be a challenge with perceptions of public safety and a challenge with the reality of public safety. Is there actually a high rate of violent crime, or is it a perceived high rate of violent crime, or, you know, how in or out of step with the larger region is it? And in this case, we spoke to city staff, including staff at the police department, and their conclusion was that it's both real and perceived. So while business owners or businesses across the region who might be looking to locate in Tukwila are looking for improved perception, they are also looking for improved reality, and residents are looking for the same thing. I mean, this is probably not a surprise to you, but this is a critical concern for Tukwila's economy, and doing concrete work both to make Tukwila a safer place, but also to advance messaging, positive messaging about how Tukwila is a safe place and is a good place to do business, is a good place to live, is going to increase the economic opportunity available to Tukwila residents and businesses alike.
All right. Thank you.
Prosperity and opportunity for businesses, workers, and residents. This is really about workforce development, but the two strategies come at it from different angles. One is worker access to education and workforce development resources, and two is making sure that employers feel like their business interests are well served by the workforce development organizations that are training up those people that they may be hiring. And so different potential actions nested under each, but both trying to solve a similar problem. And this really starts from the local school district and goes all the way up to post-secondary and then even adult retraining and reskilling, language skills included. It is a comprehensive look at what some of the workforce development considerations for Tukwila may be.
And just to build on that real quick, what we're not doing with this goal is saying the city should provide all these services. It's more about how is the city able to leverage what role we have, and it's basically making connections. So it's about the city being aware of what are our residents' needs, what's the workforce development resources are already out there, and helping those workforce development organizations know what the city's got, what the city's residents' needs are, and vice versa, helping residents understand what resources are available to them. It's not us recreating those resources, but this could be a staffing issue of having staff that's actually going to workforce development events and meetings, understanding what's available, or doing more with our businesses and helping our businesses know how they can connect with the high school. It's that kind of a role. Thank you, Elliot. Go ahead.
I will just say that's spot on, Derek. I think that the spirit of the actions or potential actions under Goal 3 is very much with the city as a connector or as a facilitator. We certainly understand that it's impossible for the city to do all of the workforce development, the training, right, that would need to be done for certain workers. But, you know, just to use a specific example from our focus groups, we heard a lot about the very robust CTE program that is offered by the school district, and yet some of the teachers that were implementing some of that CTE curriculum were saying the biggest constraint that we have is, you know, contacts with local businesses that might be able to have students in for a specified period of time to see how they run their business or what skills are needed to thrive in that business. And at the same time, we know that Derek, along with Brandon, have many business contacts. And so the idea that the city could connect those two programs to maximize, or that program with the private sector to maximize the benefit available to students, seemed like a prime opportunity.
Yep, exactly.
Goal four, a supportive environment for small business and entrepreneurs. You have a large number of small businesses and a very diverse small business community. And so we've identified a few strategies here that can help those small businesses thrive. Tukwila is a place where entrepreneurs see opportunity, and we want to make sure that Tukwila continues to project an open for business culture, and that to the extent possible, Tukwila is aligning what it's asking of businesses from a regulatory standpoint with that open for business culture. And then goal five is a community that celebrates and invites diversity. Tukwila is one of the most diverse communities in the Central Puget Sound region. Again, you have very strong business diversity, but also just demographic diversity across your community. And that is an asset. That is something to be cherished and valued. It comes through in the vision statement that Derek showed on screen a few slides back. And so we have a few strategies that specifically respond to the needs of some of your immigrant, refugee, or historically marginalized communities to make sure opportunity to thrive in Tukwila, and that Tukwila continues to be a place that does indeed celebrate its diversity. Those are our five goals. I'm happy to elaborate on any of them. And again, I don't think any of them should strike you as new in this draft, but that's where we landed based on the breadth of engagement that this project entailed.
Yeah. And while we have this goal, I want to highlight one of the potential next steps is late last week, I talked to Joe Anderson, our inclusion engagement manager with Tukwila, and asked her to look at our language in this. Just because we have different language about how do you help a, is it a historically marginalized community, is a people of color community, what's the right appropriate language? Are we focusing just on refugees or immigrants? And so she gave me some suggestions. And so we're going to be working on that a little bit. So we might, when this goes to full council, we might have some recommended changes on that. Like we had a community member that said, hey, Derek, celebrates is not really the right word anymore. You know, that person recommended embraces, and Joe and I talked about it. So you'll probably see us make a few recommendations about that. So real quick, next steps. All we're seeking at some point is a council consensus to accept the report. We don't have to have a vote. There's no rush on when this has to go to council. It's, I think, on the tentative agenda for next Monday. Once the council has accepted it, then we will do a little bit of follow-up with the people who participated, because people are kind of curious. So I participated, whatever happens. So we'll do a little bit more follow-up with them once the council has approved something. At the same time, I know the council is going to be working on the comprehensive plan, especially next year, adopting the comprehensive plan. There is that chapter in the comp plan that's the economic development chapter. So I've worked with Nora's staff over this last, year and a half to try to coordinate so we're not duplicating. So the work that we did for all of this, this is the foundation now of the chapter in the comprehensive plan. So you're going to see all of this engagement stuff is what they're using for that. All of these vision, goals, strategies, languages now in the draft document that we took from the Planning Commission. There will be some differences when it comes to the full council. For instance, there are some policies that are part of the comp plan requirement policies that we didn't have to have in this document. So that's the difference you'll see. But that's going to be coming back to you. And then really the next steps are, when the rubber hits the road is during the 2024 work plans or the future budgeting, what's in this is not fully resourced. All these goals, we'll work on them with the resources we have, but of course, to really expand it would need more resources. And so with that, we'll just hand it right back to you and see whatever questions you have, what you want to do.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn. Super streamlined comments. No surprises here. A suggestion is historically underrepresented individuals have been very much.
Safer historically underrepresented? Okay.
Or underutilized.
Okay.
So the second thing, and doesn't have to be a long answer, but as I hear what's articulated, and I also know that these are strategies and we're saying, you know, we're not, the city's not covering it, no, it's because we all understand this process, right? It's high level. But depending on your view of Tukwila, it depends on where you sit. And so a question is, what opportunities are there for new coordination opportunities? So for example, we have the chamber, but then we have unique types of business and people have different expectations. So just thinking about like the focus groups, was there any idea around how you do a new public-private partnership? How do you build towards the joint goal of looking at regulation, both large and small, but how do you advance economic development? So those are questions that I would have is, what opportunities do you have for new alliances, opportunities, and a different way to look at stuff? Because if we are a collection of, let's say, 10 different perspectives, how do we bring those perspectives together? That's the only thing that comes up for me. You don't have to answer it, but if I was in that focus group, I'd be like, hey, what about having a public-private partnership? What about let's take the initiative to establish a relationship with school? The school doesn't necessarily need to expect that the city does everything. You know, go out and meet people, the businesses that you think there are opportunities. There are new programs. Like, we don't have to be a barrier either. So I'm just like an encouragement of like, there's an opportunity for new ways to do business and people to connect. And how do we help support that? So that's it. I don't have any questions. It's all straightforward. There's no mystery here. Well, the mystery is how we're going to all come together.
Yeah, if we can solve that.
Okay.
I wanted to say I like the way you engage these different organizations, you know, the African Community Housing, the Small Health Board, Talitha Consulting. That's good because I started to read the packet. I was just curious. And you say that you received the survey responses, online survey, there's different ways people are responding. So I'm glad of that. I want to ask about on next steps. This council, current council, they're not going to get the chance to approve this. I mean, they'll go to a COW meeting. And
then it'll be up to you. If you send it to COW, if the council wants to give consensus at COW, then that's in essence their approval. If they would like it to come back to them in the future, then that's what we'll do too.
Because I think, you know, we're going to have a big change on council. And, you know, how would it get delayed if they wanted to get deep into it, review it, and give their opinion on it? I think it might be an advantage to let this council solve it. That's not moving too fast.
No, I mean, it's on the schedule for this coming Monday. If you think it's ready to go to council, you could send it to them.
Okay. I didn't have any other questions. We've seen this a lot already. We've put a lot of time into it, and I think it's a good place to start going forward with. Thank you.
Thank you. So we had hundreds of pages on Friday to read. So I flipped through this, but I'm going to ask you a question that might be answered in here. Just I looked at the graphs.
Sure.
Interesting. And so, so the survey in multiple languages, did people take advantage of that?
Only so the online survey we had available in 10 languages, including that includes English. Of this, 80 people filled out the survey, 79 were all in English, one was in Spanish. And even when we contracted with some organizations, so like Growing Contigo is a Spanish-speaking organization, and so they did some door-to-door, they did Facebook marketing in Spanish. So even though we did that, we didn't really get a lot of Spanish speakers. And then like our contract with Somali Health Board, they actually specifically, you know, helped people fill out the online survey. And I think it shows that even like that Somali community that Somali Health Board is connecting to, actually just preferred us to do it in English. So.
Okay. So this is data and information we can use in the future. Really helpful. I think that should sort of be like set aside so that we have that for future outreach and to help hone that. So that was, and so another similar question, did you see results or what kind of results did you see from the contracted engagement?
And I would like to add on to my prior answer. There were certain circumstances, you know, the online survey was English, but like when Talitha went to a couple of apartment buildings in Tukwila, they definitely did some surveys in different languages. So like Dari was one of the languages that they did there, and they did like three different languages there. And we have copies of this. You can see people filling out in different languages. So I think depending on how is somebody providing input can affect whether they want to do it in what language they want to do it in. And sorry, Councilor, what was your question?
Well, the second one was, did you see results from the contracted engagement? And you're telling me that yes, because they went out one-on-one. So again, my input is that this is information that you got by doing these surveys that I'm wondering how we can like put that in a captured area for other people to look at and use as a resource when they're trying to decide what to do. And
sure.
And I don't know how you would do that. It's just, it's a comment. So, yeah.
We would like people to be able, anybody to be able to use this information. And so we have shared this as we were gathering. We shared it with like DCD because, you know, DCD has a pretty limited budget for a comp plan. And so we shared with them that to the extent that they could share with their consultants who glean some information by having to break the wheel. But we do have it available in electronic format. And so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's like how successful was the outreach? Not even the data and the type of outreach.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm talking about. Type of outreach.
Sure.
Well, both, actually. Okay, that was all I had for that. Is there consensus from my fellow council members to move this to Monday, next Monday, and that is a COW? We have consensus to do that, so that's the plan.
I think if possible, this current council should try to close this out and not leave it for a new council.
I think it's ready. So,
yeah, hopefully it'll just go through.
Another way to put it is, I think it's ready. We've seen it multiple times.
Yeah.
People should be able to consume the information as presented.
So do we want to say in the minutes something about the council saying, I mean, the committee saying that, or should we just say it in the next?
I think that based on what we see and having it come back multiple times, like this is how seeing it come back multiple times, we feel confident that this council has enough information.
You could capture that. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Elliot.
Yeah, Elliot, thanks for hanging in there with us here.
No, thank you all. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you next Monday, of course. I will just say, to get my word in edgewise, I think City Council deserves kudos for allocating that extra funding for the engagement process. I think staff, Derek, has earned kudos for executing the engagement. We do a lot of these economic development strategies, and everyone is different. So Tukwila's, you know, going into it, we would have expected to be different. But I've not seen in some time a more thorough effort to engage all of the community, the breadth of the community, and I think that the results are there. Certainly, I felt like when it came time to put pen to paper on goals and strategies, we had higher quality input at our disposal to do that than we often have in other projects. So just a really thorough, I guess, robust thumbs up, two thumbs up to staff and council and all involved.
Thank you for letting us know that.
And I did not set him up to say that.
He didn't. It came up in the conversation. I think it should be noted. So thank you.
Really noted. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're on to the next subject, which is the renter protection policy proposal state and potential action to move this forward. So let's talk about it.
Thank you, Chair. This is Laurel Humphrey, Legislative Analyst. So as a quick reminder, the Transit Riders Union approached the council in April with a list of requested policy proposals designed to add additional regulations and protections for tenants in Tukwila. This committee talked about the issue a couple of times, and at the meeting in August 7th, you actually reviewed an analysis the city attorney had prepared with some risk levels characterized as low, medium, and high. During that meeting, you gave direction to proceed with some of the low and medium risk proposals and adopt an ordinance, prepare an ordinance. During that meeting, you also requested that staff pursue some community outreach based upon having the draft ordinance prepared. So I'd like to call your attention, I guess, to page 173 in the packet with some added language in the information memo. Circumstances changed a bit over the summer, and the city attorney ended up revising her recommendation based upon pending legal challenge with the city of Kenmore for some of its recently adopted tenant protection language. So she revised her recommendation to take away a few of the things that you had discussed and proceed with low risk, and then there are still a couple of medium risk things in there. A draft ordinance has been prepared, and it no longer includes protections associated with rent increases or just cause eviction. Draft ordinance appears on page 175 in your package, and just reviewing it quickly, it includes some additional recitals that are intended to, excuse me for a second, intended to build a record of how extraordinary tenant protections are needed due to the relatively high percentage of renters and low-income of Tukwila residents. And so you'll see kind of the justification for this ordinance laid out on page 175. I want to also draw your attention to the fact that TMC Chapter 8.47 already existed. It was called Fair Housing Regulations, and that's where the source of income discrimination ordinance that y'all passed. So because the state adopted that preempts what the municipal code has. And so that's been struck. You know, there was no need to have it in both areas. And so what's before you is a reenacted chapter. So it includes definitions, and we made those align with state law throughout. Turning the page to 178. There is a new section on distribution of information required. This is very common with all of the cities that have done tenant protections. And so basically the city will be preparing some written information about the rights and regulations, and the landlords are responsible for distributing them upon the signing of the lease or shortly thereafter. And the city is going to be beholden to keeping that updated and timely and translated. So, moving on to the next page, there is a section about installment payments permitted and deposit requirements, and that goes into quite a bit of detail. I won't read you. Turning the page then, there is a section about late fees, and so late fees will be capped at 1.5%. Next one is due date adjustments, so people on fixed income can change the due date. And then Social Security numbers, not required. It does say a landlord can request it, but it shall not require it. And then there are opportunities to do prospective tenant screening without having a Social Security number. And then turning the page, there is a violation section. This creates a private right of action, so there would be minimal impact to the city as far as enforcement in this case. And so with that, I'll turn it back to anybody for any questions. I would say our city attorney is not here with us, so if there are questions that I can answer, we'll make sure to take those back in answers to you. I also will close by saying I'm looking for direction on next steps, be it forwarding to COW, or because we weren't able to do the comprehensive public outreach over the summer due to the things being kind of held up, if you'd like to proceed with that at this time as well. Thank you.
All right, Tom, you start.
Is the Kenmore, that one still pending?
Yes.
And we don't know a timeline on that, do we?
No, I know in the city of Burien, that took couple of years, if I remember correctly, to cast that all out.
I find this captures a lot of what we wanted to have in it. As I kind of read through it here, and I didn't have a lot of pause for, like, ooh, I don't think I'm on with that one. So I felt that this is starting to capture what we wanted to capture. So I didn't have any clarifying questions at the moment.
Okay.
Well, and thanks for quoting that CNC 847, because I think we talked about it and I think we heard from folks, well, I haven't seen it or it doesn't exist. It's there. I'd be interested in doing the outreach because I think we've done a lot of research here. We looked at comparables. And so I always like it where we're saying this is where we're going and be informed and this is why. And I think the language that was in here around the intention helps with that. So I'm comfortable with the outreach.
Outreach next.
Next.
One, I will support that, but a question I forgot to ask about, is there a landlord association that has weighed in on this?
Not yet, but we would certainly reach out to
them.
That'd
be part of the outreach. Okay, I think that's good.
So, anything else? Okay, so I just was going to recap. Really, we're doing good on time. So, I was making notes. Tukwila, would require relocation assistance in certain cases when that were rental inspection failure and there was life safety. And I think that's there already, right?
I don't believe
this 172. Oh. I look at the let me read to you. Note, Tukwila currently requires relocation assistance under Chapter 8.46 PMC when a rental unit fails inspection to such a degree that the conditions endanger life safety.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that does exist for that. So we have some form of that. Page 172, there are courtesy rental inspections when the renter is concerned about living conditions. Page 173 talks about public outreach, and we're going to talk about that just right after this. And in the ordinance, the distribution of information, which I think is something easy to agree with because, and something maybe we do already. Did we do that already?
Not to this degree. No, I'm sure that there's information available on the website, but
It
would require cooperation from landlords and a more comprehensive work product from the city.
Okay. And then the limiting the security deposit and then allowing installments, I won't go into the details. So that just seems really reasonable to, that right now, and I can see how that's not being challenged. Some of the things that are, the screening report, be limited to the actual cost. That's something in there too, for example. So a landlord can't overcharge for screening report. Strengthening the security deposit protections, that's really good. So ahead of time, the landlord has to tell what all these things are. It's sort of like, checking out your car before you rent it, and then instead of just saying, well, this is off, so that is more protection for the tenant. And the late fees would be $15 per thousand of rent. And the due date adjustment, I think, is just makes sense, and the social security number required. So I just wanted to recap those for us. And I do think, yes, we need to move forward and get these going, and then we can always come back and revise as we get more information about some of the proposals that are in here. So asking my committee, the two of you, would you like to go out to COW next, Outreach next? What are you thinking?
We committed to going out, and we did it. But we should go on.
Outreach next.
Yeah.
Because I think that question would come up at COW.
Yes,
so why don't we do it first and then take it to COW?
Okay. So the next step is outreach. And so we I can report that to the committee.
tonight, to the council, and then we'll get something in this committee that tells us what outreach is going to look like. And that the next, what's the next step?
Well, the next step, your council meetings are drawing to a close for the year. So if let's say we do a month of outreach, including all of the steps mentioned, you're looking at possibly this going forward into the next year's council.
I think it will. Yeah, absolutely. In order to have time for outreach, because we were meaning to do it over the summer, but it's going to roll into next year. So that, because right now outreach during the holiday season might be challenging.
I think it's okay. This one goes past the first.
Okay. Year. Yeah. So I will leave it.
We want to get it right.
We'll leave it into your capable hands as far as that. So we are going to then, the report out to the council will be that we are now going to go into the outreach phase of this.
Yeah.
And that, they can look at the, renter policy proposals as it stands if they want to get into the packet. I won't go through that. It's going to be really late, but I won't know what I just did. So those will be the next steps. All right.
And I'll just offer that for the incoming council members. I'll provide a briefing on this topic. This is important and they need to know the history of this committee's discussion. So I will help with that.
Sounds good. All right. Is there anything for the good of the order, as they say? All right, we are adjourned.